Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. Received with infinite love and great attitude as we take responsibility for our health, our wealth, and our well-being. It's time to activate the love matrix. It's time to get our consciousness, tweak our consciousness, renew our consciousness, expand our consciousness. Stop focusing on what we don't want, pretending we are powerless. The truth is, we are powerful.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Oh, yes you are. Oh, yes you are. Oh, yes you is. Oh, yes you did. I hear a little girl's voice in my head. Oh, yes you did. You did it too. You are powerful. You are one with the one. And you're here to dance through this journey of life because you are a spirit dancer. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And we're supporting you in taking responsibility for your health, wealth, and well-being as you make an inner agreement. I have to wait for the word. An inner agreement to activate the love matrix. So we can talk about, yeah, we're in the matrix, but we're in the love matrix, first of all. The womb of transformation. Musiki Scales, Spirit Dancers. We'll be back.
Thank you.
Sacred drummer.
What the creator has created, it cannot be destroyed. Ise Oluwa, Kule Baje. Musiki Scales and the Common Ground Collective.
Woo!
Music for your soul, music for your consciousness, music to wake you up, to remind you that you are truly a spirit dancer. Get your dance on. Some of you are too afraid to dance, even though you're in the room by yourself. What's wrong with you? Come on now. Let it go. You know you need to shake some things off and wake some things up. Get the energy moving. Yes, yes, yes. Musiki Scales and the Common Ground Collective reminding us that what God created, what the Creator created, nothing, no one can destroy it. It transforms. And you're part of that creation. And you can never be destroyed. You can never be taken out. You just transform. You become more. You become new. You become more of who you are. You get to return to yourself. And the great thing about this universal hide-and-seek game is we already have what we're looking for. We already have what we desire. We already have what we say we want. We've just got to allow it. The mind says, what do you mean allow it? I already have it. I don't see it. Where is it? That's the trick. You are a mad scientist. You have to give birth to it. You've got to let it come. It's an activity that must be expressed through us, you, through your beingness as you show up, how you see the world, how you think, how you take care of yourself makes room for what you desire already. And then when you see the miracles being expressed as you, oh, my God, you start dancing like, ooh, I'm so grateful. Oh, let me tell you how grateful I am. Oh, my God, life is good. It's getting better. Musiki Scales and the Common Ground Collectives, you can find them on Facebook. You know, sometimes you have stuff going on. Just put on a good music. Put on one of your favorite music and just dance for 3, 4, 5. Just dance. That's a form of meditation. It is a form of praise. The kind of prayer that raises you up. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Oh, you make a sweet difference. I am so grateful. I can feel you right now. Thank you for being part of my life. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for saying yes. You're listening to the Ask Life Coach at A Radio Show. And the I Am Presence is your host. And the I Am Presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, the soul whisperer, the naughty professor, the teacher, the student of life, and so much more. Welcome home. Welcome to the house of love. Welcome to yourself as we join in heart collectively to activate the love matrix. We are the one that we're looking for. We are the love that we seek. We are the place where love is to reveal itself. So if you're not seeing the love, if you're not seeing the joy, if you're not seeing the success, if you're not seeing the answered prayer, with humility, I tell you, you are not opening up. As a tough one to digest sometimes. It's like raw steak. You got to make room for it. And that's why we're here, to support you and reminding you how to open up, how to allow. And the fact that you're here right now, this is part of the process. You're opening up yourself to something greater, to something more. And the intention of the show is to support you on your transformation journey. So right now you're opening up. You don't have to know how. It's not your business to know how. Because if you know how, you would have done it. And if you know how, then you mess it up. Just let life happen through and as you. I welcome all of you listening on the phone lines, those of you listening online, and those of you that are hanging out in the chat room, even though I can't see you. I can't get in the chat room today. Can you believe that? Heads are going to roll. How could you keep me out of my chat room? That's just wrong. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. We have Monique Ruffin joining us soon. And we are talking about taking responsibility for your health, wealth, and well-being. As we continue the theme of activating the love matrix. Now, let's bring on the lady with the voice. What's up, lady with a voice?
Well, hello, life coach today. May I be your eyes and, you know, just love out, since you can't see who to love out to, just real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. I need to see my family. I need to know they're there.
I need to know.
I'm not codependent, but I just need to know. I just have a need to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, New Chase just joined us, Jacqueline, right? Swiper, right. No swiping, Tracy M. Miller, roll call, Electra, can I have some of that sausage? And Yvette, always holding us down, and Glenda's joined us. And, you know, you've got friends and family on the phone lines as well. I think I see Donna over there and Sweet Tea from D.C. And, you know, just everybody's just holding it down, doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And ready to party with you. We're ready to take responsibility for the joy we want to see in our life.
I know that's right. Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you. How are you doing today?
I am great. I stayed up a little later than I planned on. I was kind of, you know, stumbling around, but hey, I hopped in the shower and that water is a baptism, so I'm all ready to rock and roll.
I know that's right. It's rock and roll, yes. Monique is going to be joining us soon, and and Yvette will see my eyes in the chat room, and you know how to feed the information to me, as we always do.
If they don't like what we write in the chat room, I'll just say a day made me do it.
That's right. That's right. You got permission to just knock them out.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll see you in a few minutes. Yes, thank you, Celeste.
Okay.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Ciao, Bella. And we are supporting you in activating the love matrix, the love that you are. You are birthed out of love. You are love in action. So express the love by being a loving action. That's right. You become it. You become that you want to see. My dear friend Monique Ruffin is going to be joining us. You know about a TV show, you know about maybe sometimes she's just walking in the street and she gets a thought. She shares it with her family. Pure openness, a beautiful soul. When I talk to her, she's just such a blessing, and I am excited to have a conversation with her today. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad for your questions, your worries, your... I'm challenging you to be different today. I challenge you to do something you haven't done before. I challenge you to do something that you've always wanted to do. I challenge you today. That's an act of taking responsibility for your health and well-being. I challenge you to be authentic, to show up. I challenge you to risk it all. I challenge you to accept that you are crazy. Because you are. I just told you, you're crazy. you is crazy, so get over it. Now that we know you is crazy, you're crazy not to know you're crazy. Donna, Donata, and Tanya is in the chat room, well, on the phone lines, actually. We have others on the chat room, which I can't see right now. Hopefully I'll work it out. You know me, I don't give up until I figure it out. I'm going to see y'all in there. That's right, with my Nigerian-British southern accent. I'm going to see y'all in a minute. Ain't nothing y'all about it. But in the meantime, what are we doing over here? We are Life Conversations Radio. We are giving a voice back to the beloved community.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Real Love is a party, a spiritual event. Love lessons for singles and couples at Hillside International Truth Center, Friday, February 7th, beginning at 7 p.m. with Dr. Barbara King, Dr. Aldewan Tart, and Dr. Janet Page. Plus a mix and mingle party at Atlanta Airport Marriott Hotel till 2 a.m. featuring Teresa Hightower and Leonard Julian with the Mose Davis Trio and Joey Somerville. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org/real love.
Did you know that color therapy has been used for thousands of years? But many of us don't realize that we've actually been practicing some form of color therapy our entire lives. We choose the colors we wear, the colors we eat, our furnishings, and wall colors. And whether you're selecting a color for your next car or toothbrush, all of your color choices are meant to make you feel better. I'm Elaine Marie, the director of Aura House School of Color and Light, and the founder of Color Therapy Month. This March, please join me in celebrating the healing power of color. For ideas on how you can participate in this worldwide event, visit our website at colortherapymonth.com.
Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and Life Conversations Radio. You can find a metaphysical rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach A Day, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach A Day. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with so Life Coach Today can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach A Day button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Do you have questions or show topics you would like Life Coach A Day to consider for upcoming shows? You could email him that too at ask@lifecoachaday.com. The theme for the month of February is Activate the Love Matrix. And we also have exciting shows on a Life Conversations radio network for you. Be sure to join Mbasa Safera for the play experience every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach A Day on the last Wednesday of the month. You can also join me for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com. You will find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. The Ask Life Co. Today radio show is also syndicated on Within Radio every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on InspireBroadcasting.com. And don't miss the musical odyssey of Sounds of Soul with the Day Anifa Woshe on 12radio.com every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Yes, thank you, Celeste. I appreciate you. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach radio show, where we remind you that life is good, it's getting better, and life is for you, not against you. So today we want to support you in embracing all of life. And we couldn't think of a better person than my dear friend Monique Ruffin. This woman embraces life. She embraces life fully. She'll tell you how she feels about it, if it makes her feel or not. If you want to get in a debate with her, she can kind of break it down. But if it's too much for her, she'll say, no, I can't do it. I'm too much in my feelings. I love her. I love how she shows up. She's a life guru indeed. And let me tell you a little bit about her before we do that. Actually, Celeste is going to do that. Just want to remind you, if you're listening for the first time, you can call in, ask questions, share your thoughts. Maybe you're moving through something. You need some help. You need a different perspective. Monique and I are here to support you on your transformation journey. 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And Celeste just reminded you, you can also post your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your disagreement, your issues on the like pages, what I call the land pages, Life Conversations Radio like page or the Ask Life Coach at a radio show land page. That is a mouthful. Okay, let's bring on back Celeste to tell us a little bit about Monique Ruffin. Hello, Celeste. Welcome back. You're in and out, popping in and popping out.
I know. Here I am, and I'm so excited to introduce the family to our wonderful, more than a friend, more than a guest, Monique Ruffin. And
she's more than enough.
She is more than enough. I know. But here's the thing, right? Monique usually joins us during a Mercury retrograde. And so this time she's coming before it to get us ready to take responsibility. So let me tell you a little bit about her. All right. She's an author, an activist, a life coach and mother. She's dedicated her life to living and teaching that we will change the world with a spiritual approach to all of life's experiences. Raised in Los Angeles by her grandmother, Monique was the child of drug-addicted and often imprisoned parents. This challenge, along with her grandmother's life-saving love and guidance, serves as her activism's foundation and inspiration. She is a contributing writer for the Huffington Post and founder of Moms Change the World. Monique received her BA in political science from Howard University, located in D.C., forgive me, and a master's degree in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. Her latest book is Open Your American Heart, From Personal Responsibility to Collective Accountability. Family, please welcome our dear sister friend, Monique Ruffin.
Yes, yes. Hello, Monique. How are you doing? Hello.
I'm good. Good morning, Ade and Celeste. How are you both?
Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
Thank you for having me today. I'm really excited to be here.
You're very
welcome.
Welcome
home,
thank
honey.
You, Celeste.
I'll see y'all later. Ciao.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll see Celeste. Celeste will be back around 1 for some announcements and celestial moment. Monique! Welcome home.
Hey, thank you.
Where you been? You've been hanging out, rubbing shoulders with some, what they call them, rubbing shoulders with the big shots. I'll make it up. There's another phrase. You've been doing big things.
I have been having fun.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. And we want to talk about that fun. But before we do that, you know, so let's just share with us a little bit about you. I know there's so much more about you, but I want to hear from your perspective, from your point of view. Who are you? Who is Monique Ruffin?
You know, I'm a little bit of everything at any given moment, honestly. For the last couple of weeks, I have been a bit of a hermit. Like, I've been, like, in the house just relaxing. It's been winter time. I've been really doing a lot of clearing, like clearing emotional baggage and things that have hindered me from really fully expressing my deepest joy and creating my most beautiful life. Like, winter time is the time for me to do that. And that's what I have been doing, and that's who I've been being for the past few months. So it varies who I am. I am a woman, I'm a mother, and I am a friend and a sister. I'm all of those things. I'm everything, like most of us are. I'm not just one thing. I'm a composite of a lot of things that serve myself and the people that are in my life.
So I'm good. And also, Stira. So those who don't understand my accent, I said shift, as in the shifting consciousness. She will shift you to have the weirdness. Yeah, you truly need that. You are, you show up so authentically. And sometimes I read your posts, I'm like, I don't know if I have the courage to share stuff like that. But you live by your words. You live by example. You say, listen, I'm dedicated to living an authentic life, to showing up fully. And you do that very well. And I love that about you. Now,
thank you.
You're welcome. Before we go, let me wish you a happy belated birthday. Is it a few days ago?
Yes, actually yesterday. It's actually my son's birthday, so it's really my mom's birthday. Yes.
Well, that's what I mean. I know, because on that day, you were birthed into be somebody else. It's a birthday for you, too. I always tell parents, it's your birthday as well. So happy birthday
to
you and Zach.
I agree. Thank you so much. Thank you. And he turned 7, and that is a really auspicious year when they become, like, in the child psychology world, they sort of say that this is the year that they become, that they're fully alive, like they're fully here on planet Earth. Like before then, they were still just sort of giving birth to themselves, you know, after they came out of the womb for 7 years. And so now they are a real full human being. And I have to tell you, yesterday was his birthday, and I was so weepy. Like, I was, like, deeply sad. And a girlfriend reminded me. She's like, it's because it's now time for you to shift into another way of parenting and let him go and be a little more adventurous to discover who he is. And it's like, wow, it's very interesting.
Of that, the myth, the inherent in your how you navigate. One of the things, I think I was talking to Celeste one time, and I said, you know what? For me, the way Monique shares Zion with the world, I feel like, you know, I'm part of the village. I feel like I know him. I feel like he's my nephew. I feel like, you know, he's my son. I feel like he's somebody I got to look after. And when I look at him, when I look at the pictures, I find myself smiling because I feel like I know him, you know. And you demystify, you know, all the stories that people have in their mind about a child that we say has a challenge. We all have challenges. But when you share your son with us, you share his spirit. You share his soul. We get to see him. And I'm so grateful for that. There's so much I want to talk to you about. But I want to talk about parenting in a minute. But what I want to do first is to let's break down what we're talking about. We're talking about taking responsibility for your health, wealth, and well-being. And because I really, once again, I want to imagine that you and I are in a cafe somewhere, and we're just talking, you know, and people just doing their own thing on their computers, but they're eavesdropping on our conversation. So that's the foundation of today's talk.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, what is your definition of health?
Wow, that's a good question. Health covers every component of our lives, and it's a fluid experience because we're always changing and transforming and evolving. So for me, my health really is the opportunity for me to see the places within myself that might be in a might need more support, might need a little bit of work, and what is it that I need to do in order to grow, evolve, to heal in particular areas. There's always some place in my life that I need some healing. It just is. Like, you know, one moment I could be in a good relationship with, you know, my son, for instance, and things can be really pristine. And then the next day, it's like, you know, something can start chipping away at it. Like something as simple as me not feeling like giving him the attention he's requiring in a particular area. And that could go on for a couple of weeks. And then that might turn into, for lack of a better word, to use a metaphor, it might turn into a cold, you know, inside of our experience. And then it blossoms into a flu. And before you know it, there is a deficit in that area. So health is a continuum, and it is an opportunity for us always to sort of be aware and take notice of the areas where we are transforming and to do our best. And we're not perfect, so we have to be gentle with ourselves, but to do our best to give ourselves the care, nurturing, and love we need for our optimal lives.
Yes, so true. I love that you said health is a continuum, and where we get to remember that it's a day-to-day thing, so that we can take ourselves off that scale or standard of being perfect and not having to have any kind of challenges in our lives. What about wealth? Right. How do you define wealth?
Well, so I want to be really transparent. I like to always tell the truth. And I have a story. I have a couple of stories running about wealth, and money is a part of that story for me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm constantly doing the work inside of myself. That tends to be one of my the places where I have to work the most around my thoughts about money and what's enough and what's not enough and if I'm doing enough to make it. So that is a part of the wealth story for me. And lately, though, in the past 5 weeks, I have not had as much money as I normally have in my account. I'll say it that way. And one morning, I woke up in a story. My car had broken down, and I needed to pay $500 for this and several hundred dollars for this. And so I was spending more money than I wanted to spend, and my bank account was low. And my heart said to me, okay, look, like, you're stripped down. Your life is like bare bones right now. Your bare bones, not somebody else's bare bones, but your bare bones. Like the structure is showing. Now let's see what's here. And what I notice is that I have the most incredible, profound people to show up and support and love and honor and integrity with me. And I am an artist. I'm a writer, and I get to bring my creativity to my life experiences, and I have this son who has special needs, but he is thriving and loved and doing incredibly well and surrounded by people who just see him and celebrate him. Like you said, like, you feel like he's your son. Like, that is exactly the way I wanted to. I had to really acknowledge that I'm really wealthy without the amount of money that I would like to have in the bank. I'm already wealthy. So there are two levels. So I do have a story about money and how much money I'd like to have and how I'd like to be able to just write checks and buy things without thinking about it. Like, I want to be able to walk into a car dealership and say, I'll have that car right there for $35,000 and write a check for it. I would like that. And at the same time, I have to recognize that my life is so filled with amazing experiences that really do count as wealth for me. Like, I'm extraordinarily healthy and fit and emotionally sound and aware of myself, and I have people in my life who are just amazing. And it's really worth more than gold. I have to say it is.
So when they tell you, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, said, no, I'd rather have love, integrity, community, love of yourself. Son, amazing experiences, amazing people, self-awareness. I hear you. I really do. I love how you define it, because it's so easy to
default to just money, as you were sharing. Yes, and I don't even know. I don't know. Maybe, but it seems like maybe it's just a circle of people that I'm around, but or where I'm in consciousness. But it seems like money is always going to be that one thing that we feel is not enough, is not enough. We hear about it, everything, programs, the politicians, money, 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 money. But you,
right.
you took it down to the bare bone, to the truth, like having love around you, having people, being surrounded by people who love you, who are amazing. You know, being as an artist, you can be creative. You can express yourself in so many ways, and the opportunity to just sit and become aware of yourself. I mean, when you sit with that, when you drink that in, it can't help but fill you up, and nobody can take that away from you. You know, that experience that you just shared. That's a state of consciousness, a state of consciousness. So let's talk about well-being. How do you define well-being?
Well, I don't know that I defined it that different than how I define health. It's sort of like a combination of all of those things for me. Mm-hmm. Like really, you know, what's my state of well-being? And, you know, my emotional well-being, my mental, like, you know, so are my thoughts in alignment with well-being? Are my emotions, how I feel, are they in alignment with well-being? You know, is my physical world in alignment with well-being? For instance, like right now I'm actually sitting outside of my house because through the holidays I hadn't been home and was doing all this sort of stuff, and my house just got beyond what felt like well-being for me. Like, it was just a mess. And even though I was, like, washing dishes every day and washing clothes once a week, it still wasn't at the level of cleanliness that spoke to my well-being and my son's well-being. And so what I needed to do was start over. So I had to call somebody to come and help me. I had to pay somebody to help me get back to a state of well-being in my physical environment. And so now that's getting taken care of right now while I'm on the call right now with you. So it's my home, it's my car, it's my relationships, it's, you know, my body, my eating, it's everything. It's how all of those things are flowing. And inevitably something is sort of always kind of needing a little more attention. And today, or for the last couple of weeks, it has been my home, and now I'm taking care of that. And so that's well-being for me. It's sort of everything that that sort of makes me who I am.
Yes. Yeah, everything. And I just say a trick question. And, you know, a little vlog of the month celebration of American History Month. And in the air, you know, there's so much people talk about love, and we all have different ways to love. And as I often do, I myself, it's almost like a movie. I'm in a movie of your life that I see as media and how you tie it all together. And when I look at how you show up for me, you show up as somebody who have learned how to accept who she is, her flaws, her greatness, what makes you shine, the part of you that would be called the dark side that you're working with. You share it with us. And so I feel a deeper sense of love within you. How do you define love?
Wow, these questions are deep today.
Because you are listening. This is what I was told to do, because I just listen. But it's because you all have it for us. You know, people look at you, well, let me speak from my perspective, and you and I talk off radio, but it's like there's something about you. When I call you, when I talk to you, there's something about your energy. I've told you this before, your essence. It's just like, oh, my God, I need to check in with you every day because you remind me of who I am. Your essence reminds me that all is well. I want the world to see that because you show that. And we see an example. It lets us believe that, hey, and this radio is about me. My people, okay, as you are. So the feeling becomes deep.
So really quickly, let me your phone is going in and out. Like, you sound like you're in a tunnel a little bit. So I just want to share that with you as I move to, if there's anything you can do about that. But so, so thank you for that. But so how do I define love? For the last season of my life, love has, I think the definition has changed over my life. Like, there was a time when I thought that love was really about my relationships with other people. And for the last 6 or so years, it has absolutely become about how I relate to self. Because if I'm relating to myself in a way of conscious awareness and acceptance and a willingness to do the work to grow and to live the life that I feel I'm capable and born to live, then that is the greatest act of love that I can give to myself and to the world. Like, for me to love myself enough to do the work to offer my gifts to the people that are in my life and to the world is the greatest act of love I know. And when we think about it, that is the example in Jesus Christ. Like, we in the Christian community, we say that that's the greatest act of love, is that he gave his life, right? But it's more than that he died and gave his life. It's that he gave his gifts, his energy, his power to the world. It culminated in an eventual death, but before that, there was just the essence of who he was. So the greatest act of love is what we have within ourselves and how we are able to then cultivate that and give it to the world. That's what I think the greatest act of love is. Cannot hear you at all now.
Okay. I think we're good now. Good Lord, okay. What is really going on here? I'm changing stuff here. Mercury's okay. It's all about the okay. Take a deep breath, Addy. Okay. And let me see if I can remember what came through when I was talking that you couldn't hear. Thank you for letting me know. It's like even the way you said it, it's like you may be talking, but I can hear you. But okay, here we go.
Yes.
What I was saying is I love how you expressed and how you define love, because
mm-hmm.
it lets everyone know that we can all love, because
mm-hmm.
it is about giving of your life. It's about giving of yourself. And we came here to be a giver of love, to express that love, to you know, just to show up completely and with conscious awareness, because that's the thing.
Yeah.
You said it earlier, that's the most important thing. Now, we've got some definitions out of the way. Let's drop down. Now, with the things that you've shared, that I mean, as I listen to you, it's just so inspiring. And I often say that, you know, when we do our spiritual work, we get to a point where it's less about what we are saying, but more about the energy that we are allowing. And
mm-hmm.
you allow energy of transformation by your beingness. Now,
mm-hmm.
how do you navigate the challenges, the things that come up sometimes that cause you to go, ooh, wait a minute, you know, almost like everything freezes, or maybe times, if you do have experience where you feel like you've forgotten everything that you just shared with us, how do
mm-hmm.
you bring yourself back into alignment and navigate that to get to the remembrance that you are healthy, that you are wealthy, and it's your responsibility to take care of your well-being?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a couple of things. The first thing is that I'm constantly in my spiritual practice. It's like I live inside of my spiritual practice, whatever that is, prayer, meditation, chanting. I have communities of spiritual people I do work with jujumama.com. You have jujumama.com, but that's where they could find it. But and so I'm constantly working my spiritual practice, whether it's crystals or, you know, following the energies of the moon and the sun to see what energies are influencing me. I understand a little bit about astrology. So all of that is a part of my spiritual work, so I can really navigate the energies of my life. So that's one part. And then I have a community of people, friends like you, who I can call and be accountable and say, wow, this is showing up for me. Like, this is, like, I don't know if I like this part of myself, but okay, you know, and just being really in integrity with what's present, not in a place of denial, and then trusting that whatever I need from that experience or from that realization is going to show up for me and offer me a gift. It always does. And so I have people in my life who hold me accountable, who witness me even. It's not even so much about someone saying, look at what you did or any of that. Sometimes it's just the opportunity to have somebody see with me, like, oh, I see this. You know, this is interesting, and talk about it and share and remember when I do not to judge myself, because there's a part of me and my ego that's like, thinks I've been doing this work for so long, I shouldn't have this stuff going on, and blah, 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 blah. I've been working, I am 40-something, and I've been doing this since I was 3 years old, and I still got this. The thing about I'm learning about being a human is that it just keeps showing up. Like, the water might clear for a little bit, but then it's like it hits another something and all the other stuff shows up. So, like, this season I started to notice that I have a level of resistance inside of me that shows up. Like, I finally could hear myself saying no before I would say yes to something. I noticed that, like, if somebody would offer me something, there was a skepticism inside of me that would rear its head before I could get to the openness. And I would be, like, sort of a little wickedness is all I could say. It was like, like, what do you want from me? Or get away, right? And I was like, wow. But that voice has been inside of me all of my life. And for a long time, it protected me because I needed protection. But I don't need it anymore. Uh-huh. And so now I'm just noticing it, and I'm like, okay. So the impulse was to judge it, to make me be bad or wrong or not spiritual enough or not evolved enough. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, how long are you going to do that? And then I just started saying, okay, let me be in prayer about it and just be with the resistance. So then I just was like, oh, here's the resistance. And when I gave it its space, it's now started to shift. It's been with me all my life, so it hasn't gone. It's not gone, but I see it now.
Uh-huh.
I see it whenever it shows up. I'm like, oh, okay, how you doing?
It's you again.
It's you again. But I'm not. Right.
Go ahead.
I'm not fighting it. I'm not judging it. And then I bless it. And I'm like, okay, I clear all the ways. I release all the ways that I'm resisting my good. I release all the ways that I feel like I need to protect myself from anything in the universe, because the universe is benevolent. So everything that's coming is for me and not against me. Like I heard you say, it's everything is for me. So I release the need or the desire or the impulse or the default within me that will resist. And I do this in all the areas of my life, you know, that I see, that I can actually catch. So it's just a practice.
I love how you ended all of it. It's just a practice. And it's true. It is that.
Yeah.
You know, it is that. And what you just shared, it's so, so powerful. If someone going through a challenge can embrace that and apply that, because it's two things. It's, we have a choice to release or resist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when we are releasing, we're allowing the flow. That is an act of love. When we are mm-hmm. resisting, holding on, that's an act of fear. So everything you know, gets tight and we're uncomfortable. And you talk about having someone else see what you're moving through. You know, mm-hmm. I talk about confession in a different way now, and it's the importance of being able to confess one sin, mm-hmm. to be able to confess when you missed the mark. The mark mm-hmm. based on what you set out to do. The mark based on what you know you should do. It's like you say, okay, this is 2014. By the first few months, I want to get this done. But now we're, or January, I want to get this done. And then, but now we roll into February. We find that, oh, we still haven't done it. Well, you missed the mark. Now tell mm-hmm. the truth about it. Share it with somebody. And just having someone else witness that, just dissolve it. Because I believe, as you sharing, it's creating a space for the things that cause us to be resistant or feel ashamed or guilt, just allowing it to be seen is the healing.
It is.
It's the healing, you know?
It really is. And there's something, you know, we judge ourselves so harshly. Like, it really makes me cry, honestly, when I think about how harshly I can judge myself or how harshly I see other people judging themselves or how harshly I can judge others, as if that is real. And really, when we judge it, or when I judge myself, like I've missed the opportunity to really be loving and sweet and get that life is really an opportunity to fall down and get up. Like, you know, I have my son, and when he started walking, I didn't, you know, look at him and go, I can't believe you can't stand up and walk. Like, look at you. Like, take another step. You know, I just was so sweet with him when he fell down. I went over and I picked him up, and if he had a boo-boo, I kissed him and assured him that he could do it, and it was fine. Just try again. Just start over. But we don't offer those same kind of tendernesses often to ourselves. And we just are so harsh because, you know, we are reflected in the world, this level of imperfection, in a way of it's wrong to not be perfect. And so we practice that with ourselves, and it just breaks my heart. It really does.
How does one practice the art of tenderness that you just talked about?
Well, it's, you know, I never really thought about it consciously, but I know that I do it with my son, and I do it with myself, but I, you know, with my son, I am very tender with him, you know, when, for the most part. Now, sometimes I need to be firm with him because he pushes boundaries, and so I need to say, that's unacceptable. Or I need to be in the energy of that's unacceptable so that I can shift a behavior or assist him in shifting a behavior. But for the most part, it's just nurturing and touching and loving and letting him know that he is assured of my love no matter what he does, no matter what the behavior is. I love you. And I do my best to offer that same type of tenderness to myself. And the parent-child relationship is a really great mirror for it. So, you know, if you don't have a child, it might be a little more difficult to see, but because I have a child in my life, I can actually see it. And one of the ways that I really witnessed it the most is the way my son's father is with him. This man is so tender and loving and nurturing and beautiful with this boy. I'm in awe of it. Like, I mean, here it is. This, and he's an African-American man who grew up really challenging environment. He works in social work, so he sees the most devastating experiences with children. He sees abuse and all the sort of stuff. And he is so tender. It is just, with our child, just unbelievable. Like, sometimes I'm envious. I have to admit it. Sometimes I'm like, wow, like, I wish I would have had that as a child. But I get to give it to myself now. And so we just have to, we have to catch ourselves. My writing teacher used to say, turn around fast enough to catch yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, catch your shadow, catch yourself, catch yourself. We have to pay attention to our feelings. Like, if someone is sharp with you or mean to you, it makes you feel a certain way. That same feeling shows up when you're mean to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
The same feeling does. The same whatever thing, the same thing will show up. And you catch it, and you go, oh, and then you start to shift the behavior.
I am so grateful for who and how you show up, you know, because you bring the practical aspect to spirituality, and you show that it is possible, it is real, and you're just open to spirit, because you caught some of the thoughts and questions I had in my head. I'm thinking, well, maybe I do that on the other side. And you start speaking, and I'm like, oh, my God, I love this. I love how spirit works. And it's a beautiful thing, interacting with people that are open and can hear it. So we're going to take a break and some announcements and then celestial moment, and we'll come back. I want to talk about parenting, a little bit more going deeper, and love in the sense that you just talked about your ex, and you, based on what I see on Facebook, you have a harmonious relationship in raising your son and I there, because people believe, no, someone's your ex, you don't never think about them or talk to them, or if you're friends with your ex, people are like, why are you friends with your ex, or what if y'all end up in bed, and all that kind of crazy stuff. But I just want to tap into your world on being a reflection to others, so that we all know that life is doing what life does, and we just need to release the resistance and embrace it. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back on the other side, we'll continue the conversation.
Okay.
Life is good. It's getting better. It is getting better. You just got to be willing. Got to be willing to do the work. And my guest, let me tell you, is Monique. Let me go back to Monique for a minute. Let me unmute your microphone. What's your website address? I know you're on Facebook, but I guess that's probably, which one do you prefer, Facebook or, because you have a page, right, on Facebook,
yes,
Monique?
Yes, you can find me.
What's
at Monique Ruffin.
Okay.
The best place is Twitter, Monique Ruffin, you know, just at Monique Ruffin, no space, or Facebook, Monique Ruffin, Facebook, yeah.
Yes, that's where you're living life out. People can, when they catch you on Twitter or Facebook, they can really see you.
Yeah, they go
to the website, but they can really see you. Okay. Thank you for tuning in, for saying yes to your life, for being part of the conversation, a conversation of transformation. The number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Now it's time for Celeste to give us an announcement and then take another break and then, you know, stuff that we do around this time. Hello, Celeste.
Hello. I know that everybody in the chat room and on the phone lines are truly enjoying the sacred medicine of Monique Ruffin today. And it is absolutely amazing to have a live conversation and to witness the exchange between the both of you. So thank you guys for that. But I also have the great pleasure of letting everybody know what else is coming up on Live Conversations Radio. Like, for instance, tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo as your spiritual tour guide to tell you exactly what it means to activate the love matrix. Are you ready to press the apply button? Then get ready for a conversation with John and Kathy Stringer. They will be sharing about their sacred love story on Monday. And we also invite you to get on the Sounds of Soul train with Adeanis Woshe on 12radio.com every Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. Don't let the soul train depart without you. So make sure that you join us, because you don't want to miss any of these powerful shows, because when you tune in, you get to be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
It is truly all about love. For more information, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Real Love is a party, a spiritual event. Love lessons for singles and couples at Hillside International Truth Center, Friday, February 7th, beginning at 7 p.m. with Dr. Barbara King, Dr. Aldewan Tart, and Dr. Janet Page. Plus a mix and mingle party at Atlanta Airport Marriott Hotel till 2 a.m. featuring Teresa Hightower and Leonard Julian with the Mose Davis Trio and Joey Somerville. Get tickets and more at hillsideinternational.org/real love.
Hi, I'm Mark Hussin. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Hussin, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. And my guest, my friend, my sister is Monique Ruff. She's an author, an activist, a life coach, mother, a spiritual being, a transformer, a visionary. And she is sharing her story with us and reminding us that we all have the power to create the life we desire. It's time for a Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and then after that we will continue the conversation with Monique Ruffin. Hello, Celeste, welcome back.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back, multitasking over here. But I'm very happy to, I know, right? I'm also very happy to share the number of the day, because it's, we don't plan these things, but when you keep catching synchronicities of the energy that's running and the conversation that you guys are having, it makes me happy to be a part of this conversation as well. So let me get to it. I'm being all coy with my number. But anyway, good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day equals 4. 4 is ruled by Uranus, the planet known for inventiveness and thinking outside the box. 4 also has a soft feminine side, as it shows up as the deer in the medicine cards. And the deer's gift is to teach us about the path of gentleness and compassion, which also leads us to opening up our fourth chakra. That would be our heart chakra. Now, 4 also shows up as the Emperor in tarot cards, and that's exactly where we're going to put the spotlight today. The Emperor is astrologically associated to the sign of Aries, the fire starter of the signs. The Emperor is known as the father figure, and his lessons teach us how to take responsibility of our power. When used in conjunction with the sacred feminine energy, we find balanced masculinity. The Emperor's role, spiritually speaking, is to provide form and order to the creation gifts of the Empress. The Emperor is the architect, and with the Emperor, we are always blessed with the tools to make choices that empower us to live a life of peace, joy, and love. It's about having the power to live from our highest good. All is well. And that's the story of 4, told through the Emperor in Tarot. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you for saying yes
you.
To your gifts and giving of your life by letting us know what the weather, the spiritual weather forecast. yes.
That's right.
Talk to you later. I love my life. I love this place. I love what is happening. I am grateful. And what you're listening to is Destiny Muhammad, and it's titled Grace. To find out more about Destiny, her website address is destinymuhammad.com. Harpist from the Hood. Let's continue the conversation with my dear friend, Monique Ruffin. Welcome back, Monique.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. Busting a little bit of sweat here and there, but I'm making it look easy. Well, now that I confess, maybe not.
I love Celeste's moment. That number 4 was great.
Mm-hmm. I love, you know, because, you know, when she does this Celestial moment, it's so in alignment with the conversation, and it just leaves me feeling like, wow, you can't plan this. It's just life. I really believe that, you know, we allow the script. Life is a production, is a story, and it's been written out. And we are just living out. We're characters. Now, the story is constantly changing by how we respond to it, what we add to it, what we resist. But it's like, it's already done. It's already done. We just need to recognize and remember that it's already done.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about love some more.
Okay.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you is how you have developed a harmonious relationship with your ex. And, you know, generally people say, oh, no, you're still talking to your ex? That means you have unfinished business. Well, you know, you don't want to do that. And, you know, there's so much stories. We're so afraid of ourselves. We're so much afraid of what could happen that we stop living. How did you get to a place? And here's the funny thing, actually, before I even ask you that question. I don't know if you've ever written this. I know when talking to you, you never share that. I've never heard you say, I'm a single mother. Now, I'm not knocking anybody who says that or anything. But I don't think I've ever heard you say, I'm a single mother. And usually when people do share it, they share it as if it's an added burden. And I'm not saying it's not. So those of you who are single mothers and use it regularly, just hear me out here. Just kind of, but if you're frustrated, if you're triggered by what I'm saying, then I'm giving you an opportunity to heal yourself. Now, back to Monique. I've never heard you say that. How did you get to that place where you've created a harmonious relationship with him, and you get to raise your son? You talked about how tenderly he raised your son, and just who he is. How did you get to that place?
Very intentionally, let me say. It was a deep intention that got us to this place. And I think we both had it. We both had an intention to live our experience as parents and as human beings and as a divorced couple from a place of love. It was just what was the resonating energy between us. And there were other energies between us. There was anger and rage and frustration and pissosity, all of that was there. And I made I took a concerted effort to shift it. And when we were going through our breakup, which was extraordinarily painful for both of us, and we both did things that were hurtful to ourselves, to one another, and possibly to our child. And I enlisted. Like, I am a community girl. I do not believe in doing, if I can say this, I don't believe in doing shit by myself. I just don't.
I hear that.
I don't believe in doing anything by myself. And so I picked my most trustworthy friends, my most trustworthy girlfriends, and asked them to hold with me what my ultimate vision was. And my ultimate vision was that we would be in a place of love with one another and for our child. And when things, when tough things would come up, because tough things did, like child support and him dating somebody else and all of this, like, I had to go inside to the darkest recesses of myself, to the most, to the meanness, to the wit inside of me, and go, okay, if you make this choice, is that going to get you where you want to be? Or is this choice going to get you where you want to be? And there were times when I would call up one of my girlfriends and say, I just need you to witness me while I cuss that man out. Like, I'm not going to cuss him out to him. But I'm going to get this energy out, and I need you. I need somebody to witness it, but it can't be him. It cannot be
right.
him.
Right.
So I couldn't deny what I was feeling. So I would cuss and fuss and cry and yell and victim, oh, why me? I would do all of that. And afterwards, she would say, I hear you. I love you. You are okay. And let's move on. And we will move on. And I did that for about 2 years. For 2 years. And one day, something shifted between us. It just moved. And we are who we are today. We never had a problem. Like, he always showed up for his child. Even when we were in our ugliest time, he showed up. Like, during the first year of our breakup, which was the most painful time, he showed up at my house every single day to bathe his son, feed his son, and put him to bed every single day for an entire year. And one day I had to say to him, I just don't want you at my house anymore. And I wasn't saying that out of anger. I was saying that out of, like, I need my space. Like, I need you out. I need your energy out of my home. Like, hear me in love. And he was furious about that. But then we shifted into something else. I told him, you are more than welcome to come and get him anytime. So we just have always, our default has been love, is what I'll say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you've said it before, but I'll say it again, because there is this perception of black men, which anybody can fill in the blank, but it's mm-hmm. so refreshing to hear you share about another black man, another African American showing up fully, because society will have us believe something else. And that is such a blessing. That is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Now,
you asked me a thing about the single parent thing. Let me say this.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
I just have never thought of myself as a single parent. I just haven't. Like, I have. But I was aware of it. Like, I was aware that single parent was a title. And I was also aware that I had a little bit of fear of it because I saw my grandmother struggle with 5 kids as a single parent. So there was something in me that feared that sort of energetic. But once I got really clear, like, who my son's father was, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be a single parent. I'm going to be a co-parent. I'm a single woman, but I'm not a single parent. And I'm a co-parent, and like, I'm probably, like, my ex is a parent like nobody's business. He is in it. He is fully activated. Like, if I wasn't around, I think he could pick up the ball and run like a champ with our child. And, you know, we have a son who has Down syndrome. He is on it, and I love it.
Mm. Mm. I just wanted that to land. You know, I'm here. I'm still here. Now, speak to mothers who say, well, I don't want to see, you know, especially based on where they are. Like, I don't want to see myself as a single parent, too. But my ex is not available. It's all right for her. She got it easy. And then there are others who are saying, you know, I really like what Monique is saying, but my ex is not available. I can't even get him to come to the children's birthday. I can't even get him to send him a text. I don't know what to do. And it's a burden to raise my children by myself. Mm-hmm. What would you share with them?
Well, first I want to acknowledge that that is a really painful place to be in. And I get it. I watched my grandmother do it, so I really understand it. And the second thing, which is hard, but this is what this call is about. It's about taking responsibility for the experiences that are showing up in our lives. It's not about blaming ourselves. But it is about asking ourselves, is there anything I am doing to contribute to the divisiveness between my ex and I? Is there anything I might be doing that would have him not be available? The answer might be no. But ask yourself the question and then sit down and be quiet with it. And if you have resistance to it, if there's something in you that's like, I know it ain't nothing in me, like, you know, if that is what shows up, then you need to stay there. Because the only way you're going to really hear an answer is if you can fully embrace the question and allow what's really present to come for you. This, it could be something as simple as you have a negative thought about your ex constantly running inside of you. That negative thought is an energy that repels. It will repel the man in your life. You know, humans are sensitive to energy whether we know it or not. So that negative thought will show up like a red stoplight or a stop sign that will repel his energy. So really comb your own experience to see how it is that you are participating in the creation of the dynamic between you. Because really that's all you can do. You cannot control another person. You cannot make them show up. You cannot do anything except navigate how you are participating in creating it. And we are creating our lives. Like, that's what we believe as spiritual beings, that we create our lives. So the first thing is taking responsibility and taking off that blame and victim hat. The next part is not believing. One of the things that I have a really challenging time with is that we are so focused on, you know, the father ain't there. The first thing people ask me when they hear that I'm divorced is, well, does the father show up and take it? It is such a victim position. It is such a, like, it's a really disempowering thought paradigm in our culture. And so it's not only about the father. Like, do you have a community of people who are in your life for you and your child? Because really, this whole two-parent thing is just an American way of being. In other cultures and communities and countries, everybody is responsible for the well-being of the children, not just the two parents. So what happens in our culture when one of the parents isn't available, that parent is a dirty dog. Like, they are so wrong. But what the truth is that the children are filtering our negative response to that absent parent through their own consciousness. But if they have uncles and aunties and grandmas and cousins and neighbors that are showing up in support of them, the reality is that they won't even necessarily notice that that other person isn't there. And it creates a softness for that person to show up. Like, when I got clear that it was that my grandmother was my caregiver and stopped focusing on the fact that my mother did not care for me in the way, like the universe is perfectly designed. Nothing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything is as it's supposed to be. But when we are in resistance to it, saying that it's this, what I have isn't good enough, it should be the father that's doing it. It should be the this that's doing it. He should be getting this amount of money. You know, then we are creating much more of what we don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, celebrate what is. Celebrate that neighbor that said, hey, I have some clothes that your son might fit. You know, can you use these? That's the universe saying you're supportive. You know, celebrate that teacher that said, oh, this will be really supportive for your child and blah, 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 blah. Like, wherever you celebrate the person in the grocery store that played, you know, smiley face with your child that they while you were picking frozen fruit out of the ice box. Like, really,
right.
The community is all around you. The community is all around you, everywhere. And stop focusing on that one person who's not the way you think they should be.
So I got some questions for you. I mean, there's nothing else that needs to be said about that. And if anybody needs further clearance or need help, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Now, I've got some questions for you. And one of the questions here is, the questions is around Philip Seymour Hoffman. With the alleged overdose of Philip Seymour Hoffman, who kept his section covered by his work ethic? I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about how we can support people trying to heal from addiction.
Mm. You know, this is a real conundrum for me because I have my own addictions. Like, I think that we all have some level of addiction in our lives. And lately mine is my smartphone. Like, I cannot put this MF down.
It just follows you. It's like, you know you want me. You know you want to look, look.
I mean, so we all, and the different levels of addiction, and they all distract us from what's really going on. But the thing that I am always a little, snatches my attention is when people have addiction or, you know, they, like, it's alleged that his heroin addiction killed him, and you hear people say, you know, what a waste. Like, that breaks my heart that we could think that anyone's experience, whatever it looks like, is a waste. It's not. Nothing is a waste. Nothing is a waste. Like, if his experience would have one person say, I need to stop using today before I turn my life off, before it's time, then it's not a waste. If one person learns from that, it's not a waste. Like, both my parents dealt with addiction, and people might look at their lives and say their lives were a waste, but the reality is that I am a product of their lives and the choices that they made, and my life is not a waste. I learned valuable lessons from their journeys, and so, you know, addiction is a part of the human experience, and we get to do our best with it. It is not an easy thing, and we do our best as we can. It is a challenge. It just is. And so we have to be sweet with ourselves. Like she said, the number four today, it's feminine and compassion and nurturing, and like that's what we can do. And when I can say yes to stopping a behavior, I do. I've been able to say yes to not eating sugar anymore, and yes to not drinking alcohol anymore, and that's grace. That is grace, because addiction is a part of the human experience. I do not take it for granted, and I'm in process with it because it's not an easy thing. I don't have all the answers or really any of the answers on it, except that we should be graceful with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And that's the thing that we don't always talk about, because it's so easy to focus on people who are addicted to drugs, alcohol. But we all
some kind of addiction. Some people are addicted to talking about other people, about what they should be doing or not doing. You know, you should say sugar. You know, saying you're not in front of a television for the whole evening and falling out and waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to bed and wake up and continue. We all have different kind of addictions, but somehow collectively as a society, we've agreed that being on drugs and being being an alcoholic is the worst kind of addiction. And I think because that's noticeable, well, for mostly, that's noticeable.
Right.
But we all have things we're moving through. And through understanding, we can be more compassionate. And that's – I won't even say that's what's lacking. Those of us who understand that understanding is needed are compassionate, just as you shared. It's like no life is a waste. There is a reason everything that happens will move us further or keep you stuck. Depends on how we look at it.
Right.
I got some other questions, and I think I want to leave the food conversation at the end because I know that's one of the passionate food. You're passionate about being at the farmer's market. Food for you is like sex. We'll talk about that in a minute, but we're going to just go to somewhere. this is a good question for you. What are your stance around men and women snooping on each other, like going through cell phones, emails, and social media? Can you have true love if you've got to be Inspector Gadget?
I do not snoop for myself. I don't really have time to do it. Honestly, that's what I'll say.
I know that's right. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Right. I don't have time for it. And because I'm so busy creating my life and really doing my best to create my dreams, so I don't have time for that. But I get it. I get the curiosity in human beings to want to protect themselves and to be afraid of, you know, ideas and fears that people are going to betray us and abandon us. And in the past, I remember once when my husband and I were married, I had his password, and I did. I looked in his email and found something. I looked for something, and I found something. And I went to him later about it, and he apologized. That was it. He was just like, you know what, I'm so sorry. And that was not my intention and blah, 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 blah. But what I know about who I was then was that I wasn't in my joy. Like, I wasn't filtering my energy into my writing and into my own possibilities for my life. So I had time to be worried about him. And it's a waste, personally. It's a clear show for me that I'm not busy enough. And when I, like, women who have children and all of them, like, I have a child that if I'm not taking care of myself, I have a child that I need to take care of. I just don't have time to be snooping behind anybody. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I understand.
Yeah.
I love what you said. It's the time when that happened, you weren't really committed to what you needed to be doing, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't, for me, it's like, which one comes first? But everything plays itself out, you know, because you're not really focused on what you came here to do, then you're going to create it is going to show up where you're even going to feel more or less than what you should be feeling. So they're all something to remind you. You are not focused on what you need to be doing. You're not focused on loving yourself. You're not focused on serving humanity through your love, through what you came here to do. And it's a wake up call. And for me, people think they need to do that, then they need to be asking a different kind of question. How did you create that kind of relationship? Now, along the relationship and love, here's another question. How do you feel about the societal pressure to have men be forced into Prince Charming role on Valentine's Day? Do you have another way of celebrating your love? Okay, let's see here. Do you have another way of celebrating your loved ones that you're willing to share?
You know, I just wrote a blog about how Valentine's Day has absolutely no meaning for me at all. And it's it's just not even on my radar. Honestly, I can. Mm-hmm. It's just not on my radar. And some of it is because I'm not a romantic person. Like, you could probably just get from this call, you know, who I am. And, I just don't, romance is not a thing for me. It's not, the things that we call romantic, I'll say, you know. So I'm not a foodie. I don't drink alcohol. I don't really wear jewelry. Like, those things are not romantic to me. What is romantic to me is being with a partner who really gets me. Like, that is a turn on like nobody's business. Somebody who gets me and isn't and doesn't question who I am, but really supports me in being fully realized. Mm-hmm. And that is so romantic to me. It is just like empowering and juicy and lovey and like a man who's secure enough to just, you know, appreciate me like you would appreciate a beautiful flower and just let it do what it's going to do and not mm-hmm. have any tendency to resist that in any way. So romance to me is really different. I also do appreciate men who can move, who know their way around a kitchen. Like, that can be romantic to me. Like, if mm-hmm. someone knows that I am into healthy eating and they prepare healthy food, like, that's very sexy to me and alluring, and just a man who can move around a kitchen with confidence. But those are everyday things, right? It's just like thinking mm-hmm. out about Valentine's Day. And so I feel like Valentine's Day is a distraction, and it's a way that the society focuses women on what we don't have and what, you know, like these industries that drive us to feel lacking, you know, the wedding industry and Valentine's Day, all that sort of stuff, that they're just distractions from women really tapping into our own power and mm-hmm. filtering it and bringing our gifts to the world rather than looking for a man to make us feel validated.
Yes.
It's boring.
Yeah, I was going to actually finish that statement. It is boring. It's like, please, come on now. Give me something that I can use, things that can help me. All right.
Right.
Let's talk about food. We're talking about health and well-being mm-hmm. and wealth and, you know, what we put in our bodies is important. The food we eat, where we spend our money, how we're using our energy. Let's talk about food, because I know you shared it. You're passionate about food. You're passionate about getting food from the farmer's market, organic food. And if I'm right, you even maybe flirting with being a vegetarian again. You have this wonderful, you play with your body in the sense that you get to see what it wants. You went on a cleanse recently. Tell us your thoughts. Share your thoughts about foods, the importance of eating healthy. Go ahead.
Yeah. And just so you know, yes, I do play with my body, so we'll talk about that.
Right.
We'll talk about that another. But anyway, okay.
I didn't want to go there, but thank you.
you stepped in that one. But So food, I really believe that food is medicine, and food is also poison, depending on how we deal with it. And so America is capitalist, and so, you know, the market decides what sells. And we have choices here, and we also have the machine that is feeding us the thoughts of what's good for us. And so I'm just very aware that foods make me feel a certain way. They make me feel good or they make me feel bad. And several years ago, I had gone to the doctor. My son was having all sorts of food allergies and, you know, sinus stuff, and he tested, nuts and wheat and eggs and dogs and all that sort of stuff. And I realized that if I was going to raise this child so that he could be healthy, and I was going to tell him he couldn't have a cookie because it had wheat, then I couldn't very well be eating cookies. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me my cholesterol was high, and he said if it's high next year when we come back and do a test, we're going to put you on medication. He never once said, change your diet, get some exercise. It did not come out of his mouth. But because I am proactive, I did the research. And what I learned was that we think cholesterol is for women. We think it's about meat and eggs and things like that. But really what it was about was the sugar. So I took out all the white foods. I took out breads and all the sugars and processed sugars and just changed my diet completely and started only eating organic foods, measuring the portions of meat and made sure all the meat that I ate was organic and grass-fed and everything else, green veggies, brown rice and things like that. And when I went back to the doctor a year later, my cholesterol was down 204 to like 160 or something like that. And I just saw that we can really monitor our health through the foods that we eat. And so I shop at the farmer's market pretty much exclusively. I know the farmers and I know the people that are growing the foods, and I try to make a lot of the food, like almond butters and things like that, nut butters, because they're so expensive in the stores and they're so expensive organic, so I buy organic nuts and make it myself. And I just do my best to watch what I eat. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes I want some ice cream. And that's not often, but when I do, I go, okay, think about it. And after 2 or 3 days, if I still want the ice cream, I will go get the ice cream. And I'm clear that that means that, you know, there's something inside of me, like, you know, that's craving, or it's usually connected to some sort of emotional thing. But food is everything. Food is everything.
Let's talk about exercise. No particular question. Share your thoughts.
Exercise is everything. Exercise.
That's why
everything.
I'm asking you. That's
right.
Why I'm asking you, because I know your thoughts on it. So go ahead. What do you mean by everything?
It is. When I see my clients, as the clients that I coach, I always tell them as often as I remember, if you would just go exercise, you wouldn't need to sit on my couch and pay me this money, because so much. It's residue. So much is residue energy that just builds up inside of our bodies and becomes an irritant. Like, it's just energy that's like, and then we give it thoughts. Like, we make it mean something. Like, oh, we make it mean that person pissed me off, or, you know, my spouse did this, and my kid won't do this. And so but really it's just energy that is building up. And if you just went for a long walk, it would burn off. And then you wouldn't have to pay anybody to talk to, not as often necessarily. Energy is everything, and so it dictates the choices that we make and how we feel and how we respond and just everything. And exercise is a fast fix-all. It really is. Literally, exercise is a fast cure. Deep breathing is a fast cure. Like, it's like moving the energy, but intentionally. Like, just like going in your house and cleaning it up and throwing it away. And then it'll build back up again because more stuff comes in. But then you clean it up and throw it away. And it makes all the difference in the world.
We're getting ready to release this conversation. But before we do that, I want to hear your thoughts. And as you know, obviously, it's beyond obvious. This is Black History Month. And if anybody lives in America don't know it, then you've got other stuff going on. But anyway, I watched The Butler, Lee Daniels' Butler, this weekend for the first time. And it touched me. It moved me. It angered me. It's like, and then it inspired me. And you've seen it, right?
Yeah, I saw it a few weeks ago.
And I saw how, at the beginning I didn't quite see it, but I realized that the father, the butler himself and his son, they were really about moving forward and creating a different life, but it was just on a different path. It looks different. And in a way, they were both activists, And but the choices the father made or what he experienced as a child influenced the choices made. But what I really want to ask you is when you – especially the experience that you've grown up with and when you look at the history of America, how do you see the African-American experience now? Are we further than we really allow ourselves to see – or are we still, you know, there's things that are still need to change, or there's a lot of work that needs to be done, but we're just covering up with words and fancy materialistic riches?
Well, that's interesting. So the race conversation in this country for me lately has been a tiny bit of an irritant, I would say. Like, it's been like, I've noticed that I have, when I watch a movie like The Butler or 12 Years a Slave, and my life is very multicultural. I have tons of people in my life from all different backgrounds and races and religions and all that. And when I watch something like The Butler, I find that I am pissed off. I'm angry about the way black people have been treated and might still be treated. And I'm also aware that there is something about human nature, whether it was 200 years ago or 20 years ago or yesterday, that there's something in us that has the impulse to be superior to other people. And I don't think that that's necessarily a race thing. I think that that happens all over the world. And so, yes, I do believe that there is – that the conversation about race is just an American experience based upon the founding of this country. And it is an opportunity for us to use it as a tool to grow and to see where we are resisting the opportunity to love, where we are resisting the opportunity to be fully empowered and in our full expression of our divinity and our humanity, and, you know, how we create this experience and how we can continue to transform. It's a great tool. It is a great tool, and it is a huge distracting thing for black people and white people who can get stuck in these stereotypes about race. And every day in my life, like, I have the most incredibly loving people in my life who are white and Jewish and Latino and white men who show up for me like they would show up for anybody of their same race. So I know that humans are far more complex than that overriding race story. Like, if we keep telling this old story about racism and black people being downtrodden and black people not having the same opportunities, maybe that's true. I'm not saying that it's not. All I'm saying is that there are other stories that are true, too, that there are people of all sorts of races who love one another, support one another, you know, reach out and extend a hand, because it's the human, loving, compassionate thing to do. And we need to give that a stage as well. And we just keep telling this old story that's just part of the story, but it's not the whole story.
Indeed. And you know what flashed in my mind when you talk about the old story is what you posted, the SNL skit, Saturday Night Live skit. When I say slavery, you say sorry. Hold your hands off if you are, that skit might it. I mean, it's funny, but that's, for me, that's the old story. You know, it's constantly keep saying slavery, what y'all did to us, if you owned our ancestors. You know, it's funny, but it's funny because we can see it. When I say slavery, you say sorry.
Wasn't that hilarious? I found it so funny, but I also find that the comedy is the opportunity to laugh at it, and that is where we heal. That is where we all get to go. Yes, this is our, this is an old part of our story, but we get to heal because this is funny. It is undeniably funny, and that is why I love artists. I love musicians and comics and, you know, painters, because they get to take the pain and transmute it. It's alchemy, and they get to make it beautiful, funny, lighthearted. I thought that was so hilarious.
Yes, it is. And listeners, if you didn't catch it, go on YouTube and do 28 Reasons to Hug a Black Man. You'll find it. Oh, my God. It's like 2 minutes and 20-something. It's about 2 minutes long. Monique, as always, I've really, really enjoyed you. I love who you are. I love how you're showing up. I am grateful that I know you, that I get to see you. And I just really love how you show up. You know, you inspire me, and I know there's other people. I see it on your Facebook wall. Just let it be. You let it happen. And
you
demonstrate that even though it's sometimes the change can be painful, it can be easy if we're willing to engage. We're willing to engage what's happening. So thank you for who you are, and I am so grateful for our conversation today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, and I love you, and I'm very grateful for the work that you do. It makes a huge difference. So thank you. Keep doing it.
You're welcome. Look forward to having you back. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings.
Life is good. It's getting better. One of the things Monique talked about is community. Who do you have? Do you have a community? Do you have a place where you can be safe, where you can just let all the shit hang out? And even if they're going to cover their nose, they're still going to be holding on to you so that you may experience your shift. You know, we're talking about taking responsibility for your health, your wealth, your well-being. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody will do it for you. And the truth is, it's not that nobody will do it for you. They can't do it for you because they don't really know. They don't have a full picture. They can support you, but you must be willing. And the willingness comes as being willing to be gentle with yourself. It sounds so, gentle. Sounds so very fluffy. It's so very whatever. But ultimately, the truth is we must learn to be gentle with ourselves, even while we're judging ourselves, even while we're being critical of others. And you get to define what gentleness, you get to define what tenderness means to you. But there is an easy way to be gentle. It's called forgiveness. You're listening to this conversation, this show, because you're ready to make a shift. You're ready to move. You're ready to expand. It's more than, I love listening to that show. It's more than whatever brought you here. This is a soul agreement. And the more we learn to make room and space for our dark self, our shadows, oh, the easier we can expand. Because everybody got stuff they're dealing with. Everybody got things they're hiding, you know, because we're afraid that we will be judged. And if we're judged based on the experience you had when you were younger, you say, if I'm judged, then they won't be my friend or they won't like me. I'm going to be an outcast. Whatever story, I'm going to be alone. I'm going to be neglected. I'm going to be abandoned. I will be loved. Story you've made up. But you can make room for that, too. This month, the theme is activate the love matrix. And you got to activate it from within yourself. Love is action. Peace is action. Kindness is action. You got to put it into action or it means nothing. When you decide, choose to forgive yourself, If you can't do it by yourself, invite somebody to support you. Monique talked about witnessing. It is so important to have somebody you can just let it all hang out without worrying about if you're going to be judged for not being spiritual. Oh, I thought you were Mr. Positivity or Mrs. Optimist. A place and a space where you can just say, this thing is getting on my flipping nerves, and I just want to let it out. Because if you don't let out the emotion, the energy, and you stuff it because you don't want to be judged, it will manifest in other ways. We have a choice. And you know what? All of us that are alive right now, we need to just look at each other. Well, actually, look at yourself. Give yourself a hug. Pat yourself on the back. Because we are the ones who are being charged with not just talking about it, but being about it, living this truth, living this new awareness. And when you're not living your truth, when you're not being true to yourself, it will be uncomfortable. It will be frustrating. You will get angry. You came here to do this. You said, I got it. I got this. You're waiting. But we need each other. We do. It's an interesting thing. We say, only you've got to do it, but we need each other. Yes, you've got to be responsible for yourself, for your own health, wealth, and well-being, while leaning on the other. Understand that we are all part of this tree of life. And it doesn't matter if you're part of the roots, if you're the stem, the fruit, the leaves that we don't even see now, the fruit that gets eaten. It's just one tree of life, and we're all connected by this root system. And when you remember that, you're rooted in the truth of who you are. You're rooted in love. I am so grateful. So, so grateful. Thank you for listening. I'm underage. It was only for grown folks. But Celeste and Yvette's letting me know. We have love and happiness in the chat room. We'll stop by. Tia, we have Jacqueline. We have Lady D, Electra guest. And we have Donna listening as well. Tanya listening. We have Carly Jackson. Yes, is in the house. I thank you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for saying yes and saying yes to yourself. Celeste, Yvette, thank you for your help behind the scenes. I truly appreciate you. And as we get ready to release the show, make sure you check out Monique Ruffin on Twitter. Handle is Monique Ruffin, @@. It has a word, but I can't think of it right now. Who cares? Nobody knows. Google will tell you. What's the... Anyway. Or you can find her on Facebook. My mind is running away with me again. On Facebook, Monique Ruffin. It's time to get out of here. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. And I invite you to be love. To be love. And be true to yourself. And just as important, beloved. And living, yeah, see that. Glenda, thank you for tuning in. And if I missed you, it's not intentional, not going on here, flying the plane, counting the passengers and everything. It's something we want to see, because we have the power within us. I'm out of here. See you tomorrow for another episode of Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. This is Gina Renee featuring Michael Bernard Beckwith. And you can find Gina Renee on Facebook. And you can also find Michael Beckwith on Facebook. And you can find him at agapelive.com. Peace in, peace out, and be still.
The dynamic of harmonizing good. Allow it to flow through your soul, because inside it will make you whole. I'm talking about you being you, because no one else can set you free but you.
I'm putting gas in my car. I'm thinking about the war in Iraq. The air we breathe in is toxic and there's way more than that. The situation's international. Matter of fact, it's intergalactic. But don't make me get into that. Don't see how some be sleeping on the streets, while others they be living a life that's so sweet. I envision a world where everyone's needs will meet, living off the earth in harmony and peace.
The only reason some still be packing heat
is 'cause their lives is so incomplete. We were all born perfect with everything we need to be free. If something happened, man, we stop believing all we could be. Let's remember we're a part of nature. Expressing love is what we're made for. Deep in your heart, the answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. I don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe. Say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. Tsunamis, wars and famine, between religions, misunderstandings. Many different people with the same passions, just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction and see we receiving exactly what we asking. Am I focused on lack and limitations, fear and separation? Am I open to a new conversation? I'm talking about the love vibration. Everybody, unification. A change is moving across the nation. Yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's 'cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing, but more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we giving. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me. One world in harmony, one world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody, 'cause I'ma be the change, it's all in me. If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe,
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.